Welcome back to the Pot of Gold podcast. I am Fernando, joined as always by Mike B. Mike, exciting times. Quiet times right now around Notre Dame football, but some exciting times around Notre Dame Stadium. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Fernando. We just had a chance to talk to a Hall of Famer. And it just happened to be somebody from the Country Music Hall of Fame, Garth Brooks, as folks know. He's back in town, and he was doing a little pre-show publicity before Saturday night's show. And I really was impressed with how much thought he gave our questions and the quality of the answers and just the personality that he exuded. He was really into it. I'd never met him before, and I was impressed.
I had never met him either. And it was funny because he's like, you know, if you guys would have been here before when he came back in 2018, first thing he said is, I don't want to talk at you guys. I want to talk with you guys. So whoever has a question, throw it out there. Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun with this. And I really do think that he liked the questions. He got into it. And honestly, fans should be expecting a good show come Saturday night, because he had the energy, he was ready to go, and he seemed excited.
Yeah, talk about the way he prowled around the front of the room there. I mean, he wouldn't stay in one spot. He wasn't seated. Our videos will show he came right toward the camera, the way Letterman used to do it when he was hosting his show. A guy, really a people person, entertainer. But a regular, approachable guy. That's what I mentioned on Twitter. I was just impressed with how accommodating he was, how approachable he was. He just liked the back and forth, the conversation of it. Yep. And what a run of success he's had. And it doesn't seem like he's looking to slow down anytime soon.
You know, it's funny. You talk about personable. I mean, the guy asked, what's your he wanted you to say your name and then your affiliation. And then he'd be like, nice to meet you. And then like say your name and repeat your name and be like, nice to meet you. And he really, like you said, really approachable guy. And Mike, you and I have been to numerous press conferences before. And it's really rare that somebody tries to use your name as a, like they use your name. Oh, hey, nice to meet you. And Garth was just one of those guys. So honestly, a lot of fun. We got to talk to him off to the side for about 2-3 minutes, and just a fun guy who you could tell he's having so much fun being on this tour. And it's a long tour. It's a very long tour that he's on right now. And he seems like he's just getting more energized as the tour continues.
Yeah. And I think that if you look at the scheduling of it, they're wise to basically hit one city per weekend. It's not one of these like Almost Famous things where you go from city to city night to night. That would be grueling, but yeah. The way, you know, gives them a chance to recover a little bit, rebuild the energy and do what he's doing now, 60 years old. I asked him that question about what it's like to be out there on a major stadium tour now that he's 60, and he quoted Springsteen talking about how that walk from the dressing room to the stage, everything's cured, whatever's hurting at that point, no matter what's happened before, it's you get that rush. So it was cool. I mean, he's heard every question, he's been on every show. He's a great communicator, and he was very kind with his time today, and I'm sure folks are going to have a great time. So I'm looking forward to hearing the clips that we're going to have for folks here on Pot of Gold.
Yeah, no, definitely. And one of the things that really could tell you what kind of a guy he is, he shouted out his whole equipment crew, and he said, hey, these guys haven't seen their families in 4 weeks. And guess what? They're not going to see their families for another 4 months, because he's still doing it. And like you said, he's separating the days, not every night, but it is still a tough, grueling schedule. Just because of all the different places that he's going. And then I think, Mike, you were the one that told me that he's ending it in Ireland. So his tour comes in and in Ireland. That's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously Notre Dame football is headed there next season to play Navy, in Ireland. So Dublin. So that'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, let's start off with what we talked to him about. I started off by asking him, I'm like, hey, you're a football aficionado. Like you like college football. He's an Oklahoma State fan, but he likes college football. And I asked him straight up, I'm like, what do you think about Notre Dame and the way they're heading with their football program? And here's what he had to say.
Well, here's the thing is you guys aren't your tradition and your worth, I guess, to the rest of the world is not dependent on what last season was. Very rare, right? It's always a classy organization, always the best, and you guys are always in the hunt. Again, man, you know, how many people got to go to a school like that? So congratulations, first of all, and you hired great people. I had me and Brian Kennedy, trying to see what Chuck's around here, me and Brian Kennedy had lunch with Coach Holtz down in Orlando about a month ago.
Oh, wow.
And just the way he speaks of this school with such reverence is how we all feel about it.
What was that lunch like to be with him? And
it's good.
And chat with him?
Because he speaks in those perfect little, you know, one little chunk kind of things. It's just like, oh, my gosh, I need to write that one down. But you remember him all. He's great, and he's real. He also listens. When you talk to him, he's listening to you. Man, that's I hate saying this time. That's rare, but it is.
So, Mike, he knows exactly what way this team is headed, but he got to sit down with Lou Holtz and have lunch with him and everything. That must have been quite a meal and quite a way to get to sit down with one of the legendary head coaches of Notre Dame football and really get a lay of the land and see what this program is all about.
Well, yeah, I mean, like Marcus Freeman did, of course, a little more natural connection there with Marcus going down to Orlando and spending time with Lou. But a lot of wisdom to come from that guy and a lot of perspective on handling fame and et cetera. But one of the things that that Garth brought out there is that when he was spending time with Lou Holtz, that he felt like what he was saying, Lou was listening closely. And Garth appreciated that. He said that you would think that famous people talking to famous people, everybody be listening closely. But he said that's not always the case when you have a conversation. And you know, that's I thought that was some good perspective there. You know, there's nobody probably on the, you know, within the entertainment or sports world that a big country music star like Garth Brooks couldn't get to return his call. But they were sitting down breaking bread, as they say, and yeah, that had to be pretty cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, obviously, like I've mentioned, him being a football aficionado, he knows, and he says, like, he even said it during his press conference, like, there's only a few schools, Notre Dame included, that they have different standards than everybody else around the country and their football teams. And he said Notre Dame is one of them, where they are different, they expect more, they're at the top echelon of the programs and all around the country. So he definitely took notice in that. But Mike, you talked to him a little bit about the NIL.
I don't think Javon throws as much as the football or basketball guys, for sure, right, with the shoe contracts and stuff. But I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. I understand what it's supposed to do, which I like. And because, you know, these guys, truthfully, we go to school to become journalists. If they go to school to become basketball players, that's kind of what they're doing, right? So to ask them to do that and keep up their grades, even though it's like, come on, you're gifted, you can handle the extra weight and the pressure to get it done. But at the same time, if done right, NIL hopefully will be a good thing for the universities and for the athletes as well.
So, Mike, what was your biggest takeaway from what he talked about the NIL and kind of the way things are going right now in the landscape of athletes and schools with the NIL deals?
Well, yeah, like as he joked, you know, this is a former intercollegiate athlete. It was the javelin, though, for him at Oklahoma State. And so it was probably, you know, even then limited earning capacity. But he was, you know, while he was in school there, I believe he was still wasn't able to be paid. But he certainly was developing his musical skills as a young man. But imagine, you know, there's people with the ability to excel beyond their given, you know, talent, the one that everybody takes for on face value. There's all kind of hidden talent out there. Could be artistic talent, could be could be speaking talent, could be anything, could be musical talent. And that's what NIO was set up to do. And I like the fact that he says there, let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
And of course it's changing rapidly by next week. If we were to ask him that very question a week from now in Cincinnati, before he's going to play two shows next weekend, he might have something even fresher to say, because that thing's changing quickly based on those meetings out in Phoenix. They may be reining in the runaway collectives here very soon. And it sounded like, to read between the lines, that Garth Brooks not necessarily a big fan of the inducement side of what's been happening on NIL, because that wasn't the intended aim, at least not the stated mission or the one that we all interpreted. But that's what the NCAA gets for being hands off with it for almost a full year. Is it? It's the thing just took on a life of its own. We'll see if they're able to rein it back in, or if it put the genie back in the bottle, or if it's too late. But he did express that in general terms, that he knows what it was intended for, and he does like that aspect, and he hopes it can work for athletes and for universities as well. And I think that's everybody's hope.
Yeah, no, and it is going to be tough just because of everything going on. I mean, I think I just saw on Twitter right now that one of the running backs from Texas, the Longhorns, he just signed a deal with Lamborghini. So it's definitely Mike, how would you feel about signing a deal, an NIL deal with Lamborghini?
Oh, my. You know, it's I just don't know how they roll back that clock. I mean, there's, in terms of it's already been mentioned, I mean, these collectives that have on Texas, I think it was like $50,000 per offensive lineman was already set aside. That story's old. That's been out there for months. But no matter who came in, didn't matter if you were even expected to play, they just pooled their funds and set that aside. You knew you were going to get that. You know, we've seen multiple Miami, of course, University of Miami,
yeah,
really pushing the envelope, but it's everywhere. But it's not, the collective at Notre Dame hasn't done that. And I think this is where Notre Dame is well set. If collectives are allowed to continue to do what Notre Dame has sketched out with the fund, friends of University of Notre Dame, with Tom Mendoza and Brady Quinn and other key figures around the university, if collectives do exist going forward, the healthy way for it would be to not benefit the athlete until the athlete has arrived and enrolled, for one thing, and then to tie it into charitable works and not just squeezing off a few tweets here or there, and certainly not to link it up to sports cars that cost six figures. That would be good. But you know, that Sports Illustrated story that Ross Dellinger wrote, you know, kind of laying out a week ago about how it's really $150,000,
yeah,
per five-star recruit out there. That's kind of the going rate. It was eye-opening for everybody to see, and to see people openly, even an LSU booster with their collective, who's known for ambulance chasing, talking openly about how they have really no shame, no embarrassment about it. The way the path was wide open for them. So that may be changing in real time. We'll see. But I did think it was important to ask a former collegiate athlete, who's, as we've determined and known, a big sports fan. And of course, his wife, Trisha Yearwood, famed country star as well, big University of Georgia fan. And he was funny on that too.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, one of the faces right now is Jordan Addison, who's transferring for Pitt, who knows where, but they're talking about how he could be making $3 million if he heads to USC or wherever he heads. So it's just crazy right now what's going on with college football and some of these athletes. But, you know, it's funny. When we talked to the bus, he pointed out something about you, Mike, that you're an analytics guy. You like researching, you like doing your research, and he's right. You do. And you found out that, Gene Simmons and, from Kiss and Garth Brooks are friends, and that he took tips from him. So let's hear what he had to say about, some of the tips that he took from Gene Simmons.
How about entertainment from them? Right. So these guys, what they did was they painted their faces. Nobody had done it. Great. But then what they didn't realize then was, wait a minute, if I paint my face at 60, I'm going to look exactly the same I did when I was 20. That's brilliant. And those guys have stayed in shape. And if you've ever hung around them, all of them are 6'3", 6'4", even without the big boots on. So they look live. I mean, I saw them, last time I saw them was probably 20 years ago, and they look like they did in the 80s.
Mike, you got some good stuff out of Garth on that question.
Yeah, I was, of course, I had my mask on at that point because they told us that it was encouraged, not mandatory, but I thought I'd show some respect there. Garth took his mask down while he was talking to us, which was cool. But I'm not going to be the one who causes his tour to have to be interrupted. I just want everybody to know that. but yeah, I mean, in terms of marketing and staying power and entertainment, entertainer instinct and showmanship, you can say whatever you want about Kiss and its quality of music over the years. I do think I didn't get a chance to ask him about the cover that Garth Brooks did of Hard Luck Woman, which is one of the better written Kiss songs over the years. But don't you get a sense that you could ask Garth Brooks a question about anything and he'd give you a well-reasoned paragraph or more answer that would be give you something to think about? I mean,
100%.
This guy's a heck of an interview. A sharp guy, and for him to, it's almost unfair to have the ability then to also go out there and entertain 80,000 people, 100,000 people at a time with the quality that he can bring. But I also got the sense that, you know, Gene Simmons is now 72 years old, great at keeping himself relevant. I use that word in the question, I believe. And it strikes me that Garth Brooks will stay relevant on the entertainment scene for as long as he would like. It's not at some point that he'll forget how to connect with people. He's already shown that he can connect one-on-one, but when he's out there, the way he conducts himself, the way he uses social media, the way he makes himself available without overdoing it, without oversaturating the market, those are things that no doubt he learned from the great Gene Simmons.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, that it was fun to see him kind of chuckle when you asked him that question, just because, I mean, sometimes when you kind of ask the unexpected and you get like a sincere laugh from these guys, that's usually pretty pretty good stuff. But also on scene with us was Justin Frommer from the South Bend Tribune. He covers high school sports for us and good guy. It was my first time actually meeting him, so it was awesome to catch up with him. And he asked Garth about the kind of the present of country music with guy rising stars like Luke Combs, Luke Bryan, Ashley McBride, some of these they're already there, but some of these stars of country. And he kind of got into depth about how they're doing right now within the country music world.
You picked a good guy, Luke Combs. I'm trying to think, Ashley McBride. I think these people are fantastic. Try to remember, man, before you were born, when we came into country music, we were the bad guys because we brought in Kiss, Queen. We brought in a kind of a rock kind of feel to it. So we were the bad guys, the non-traditionalists, supposedly. Well, now they're bringing in street. They're bringing in, you know, a lot of dance stuff to it. But the whole thing is sincerity. That's country music's spine and backbone is sincerity. So you find the guys that are sincere, both Lukes, Luke Combs, Luke Bryan, you're never going to meet nicer guys and more real guys that know that this time, this window for them is short. And they seem very grateful.
Mike, from Garth Brooks, he says it's going, country music is headed in a good direction. Those three folks are putting in the work and definitely that's great to see.
Yeah, I you made the point about authenticity and you know, connection and the things that he's tried to cultivate. You know, it certainly doesn't work if you try to do it the way the Bradley Cooper character did in the Star Is Born remake. It can't be about all the stuff that's around the fame, and you have to be serious minded about it, and you have to put the fans first. And I think the people who do survive and stack decade after decade of entertainment and you know, annual gross earnings to the stratosphere. The way the people who have the staying power are the ones who have the priorities in the right place. And that's what he seemed to point out the most about those folks.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And obviously country music is huge, and the way it's just revolutionizing is obviously in the positive. And you know, it's funny, my brother actually got me into Luke Combs, so I'm actually a pretty big Luke Combs fan. I didn't have that many songs of his. And on the road trip out here when I got hired and was moving out here, my brother did most of the driving. So we have a rule in my family, whoever's driving is controlling the music. So my brother's phone was in most of the time. And he loved, like, I'm more of a hip hop, reggaeton kind of guy. And my brother's more country music and stuff like that. So we were listening to Luke Combs and even some Garth Brooks and some other guys. And I was like, you know what? This music's actually pretty good. So as soon as I got into South Bend, I downloaded a lot of Luke Combs, so it's good to see that Garth gave him his due. But Mike, one last thing that we talked to that I asked him during the press conference was, hey, you had a little bit of seismic activity in LSU a couple of days ago. And I had to ask him, like, should South Bend expect some seismic activity here? And then obviously some seismic activity, and he just chuckled at it and really gave us a good in-depth answer at what the folks should expect here in South Bend.
I tell you what, man, this place, because what I love about Notre Dame as compared to most stadiums, because this is one of the oldest stadiums in the world, especially in this country. This has no division, right? It's just a straight sweep up, which makes it great for concerts, great for sound, makes it great for that. And the other places seem divided. This place acts as one. And now you take that center, stage that we had last time, you move it down to about the 20 or 30. Now you've got a bigger group that's acting as one with a kind of 360 kind of view on it. So now it's much easier for everybody to be together. So I'm expecting this to be just as loud.
So he says he expects it to be as loud as it was at LSU, or, you know, you never know. It could maybe be louder, Mike. What do you think we're going to feel a little bit of a shake on Saturday night?
Well, I don't have tickets, so I don't know. I'm about a mile and a half away. It's possible. But, you know, I thought it was an interesting point he made about just the structure of Notre Dame Stadium and the way that he talked about how everybody's kind of united when they're inside the building, just the way the concrete was poured. And, of course, obviously it's been updated a few times through the years. But still, even as tall as a stadium as it is now with all the – and we were talking to him on the seventh floor of it, of a nine-story building now. But – he likes the acoustics. He likes the way people are brought together. But I'll say, I would be very surprised if anything registered on the Richter scale, because down there at LSU they have a long history. We were talking about Billy Cannon with his punt return back in the '50s, and Matt Hodson, I believe, it pops up in Wikipedia with one of his touchdowns in more recent vintage at LSU. That stadium. It's the only one that I'm even aware of that regularly has a seismograph on a call there. It's because they take great pride on the bayou in making it shake. We'll see how much shaking is going on in the Brian Kelly era down there. But that's where Garth just came from, and that's, I guess, that kind of sets the bar for South Bend on a Saturday night.
Exactly. And Mike, it's Brian Kelly and his family.
did you notice that the crawfish boil? Did you see that video?
No, I haven't.
They did a little crawfish boil, and he and the word family just dropped like two syllables, because he'd turn it into a four syllable word back at the basketball game when he first showed up, and now he just went right to family. And so it's amazing what a little bit of national humor will do to shorten a word.
Hey, sometimes we all have to laugh at ourselves, and even if you have a huge miscue like that, I mean, hey, what are you going to do? But definitely that was That was pretty funny. But yeah, no, it's going to be, I'm sure, like, he was just so excited about the concert. And he's like, we're going to be moving, we're going to be grooving, we're going to be going. Yep. So it's definitely, they're going to rock all out. They're going to rock out at Notre Dame Stadium. And so it should be a good, it should be a good concert. Great guy, great human being. So it's going to be a lot of fun to for people who are going to the concert to listen to Garth Brooks and all the stuff that he has planned for the fans and everything. And you could tell he really does care about the fan and the fan experience. So it should be a good one for Notre Dame fans. But as for the Pot of Gold, we have some cool stuff lined up. We have some good stuff coming your guys' way. Definitely appreciate you guys listening to the episode this week. Mike, you got anything to say to the fans before we head out of here?
No, just thanks for finding us, and we're gonna try to get into a groove of our own here coming up, and get you guys some more content and perspective. Some, like you said, Fernando, we're gonna have no shortage of guests. The lines are out there, and we'll be talking to you mid next week. We have next Wednesday. We're gonna have a guest for sure, and that everybody will recognize. So come on back.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy the weekend. And if you guys are going to the Garth Brooks concert, have fun and get ready to have a good show. But for right now, this is Mike B and Fernando signing off from Pot of Gold.